Welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu, coming to you live from the University of British Columbia, the traditional and ancestral homes of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples. I am your host, Alex Bird, or one of your hosts, and alongside me, as always, is
Hugh
Dana. All right, Hugh, how are you doing today on this fine, cloudy Thursday morning?
Chilly morning. I'm good. Got some good music to discuss.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about the new M83 EP, or like kind of like part one of their next album rollout.
Yeah, whatever.
Fantasy part one. And then we are also going to be discussing the new Paramore album.
Titled This Is Why.
This Is Why. I almost called it This Is That, which I think is a different song. Oh, no, that's a different song on the album. Anyway. What should we get into first here?
What do you think? I think that there's probably more for us to talk about on the Paramore album.
Okay. So
So I think we should start with Paramore.
All right. Paramore.
So, 10-track record.
Yep.
Their last album was, let me look. Their last album was probably in 2018, I want to say.
From American rock group.
2017.
Paramore?
Yeah, this is their...
2017?
Yeah, 2017 was their last record.
Mm-hmm. I think they've had some solo stuff in the interim for, like, some of the members. Like, Hayley Williams has, I think, done some of her own, like, solo stuff, not affiliated with the band.
I believe you're right.
So, it's not been, like, a total hiatus.
Nope.
But still.
Yeah, it doesn't ever feel like they're gone that long, even when it's 6 years. So this is a 10-track record titled This Is Why. It's not jam-packed of, like, that anthemic rock that we know, like Misery Business or That's What You Get. It's more of softer pop rock, a little bit more conscious, like we kind of discussed off-air. What was your first take on this? Because I know you have some things to say. I'll let you get those out there. All right.
My first take on this is, like, the thing I noticed the first time I was listening to songs like This Is Why, The News, Running Out of Time, when I was listening to them, to the album in preparation for this, was that, like, at the start of some of those songs, especially with, like, This Is Why, the opener, at the very beginning of the song, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm that into this. I don't know how much I'm enjoying this.
Agreed.
And then at the end of the song, I was like, oh, this is great. And then the second song, kind of the same thing hit. And about by the third song, I was like, all right, these songs grow on me just over the length of the track. I think the reason why at first the songs weren't really hitting for me is I think because they kind of all start off with, like, in the first 45 seconds of each of these songs, they kind of get straight into the chorus. There's not really a lot of build until the chorus drops, especially on those earlier songs. And so I think that maybe made the songs feel rushed to me at the start, and maybe a bit underwritten. But of course, but when you get into the songs, they're actually written quite well. But I don't know. They just didn't. Wasn't, like, sounding great to me, but then, like, by the end, you let the whole thing play out and sort of be able to put the sense of rushedness behind myself and just appreciate the song more fully when you're towards the end of it. And it's enjoyable. And, especially on... like, This Is Why, when the male backing vocals come in on the second chorus, that's when the song kind of clicked for me. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is actually really good. I do enjoy this. Maybe just something about Hailee Steinfeld's just solo first chorus wasn't doing it for me on the beginning, but it got there.
Hailee Steinfeld.
Did I get her name wrong? Is there a T in there?
It's Hayley Williams.
Hayley, oh, who was I thinking
Hayley
of?
Hayley Steinfeld was like a pop singer.
Oh, whoops. Sorry, Hayley Williams.
Hayley Steinfeld, she had like a, I think her dress, Starvin', yeah.
Oh, Starvin'. Yeah, yeah. With Zed. Anyway. So, my mistake. This is live.
So I didn't ever feel like the tracks were rushed. I think they're not. I tend to enjoy.
No, they didn't sound rushed. I just feel like they got into it. They got into the chorus quite quick.
I mean, I didn't even notice that because I was kind of like. I never was one who thought Paramore had. Paramore never has like long. Like the message of most Paramore songs are the chorus, and the chorus are usually more than like four lines. Like their chorus here is 8 or 12 lines, and the verse is 4, which is kind of what I expect from Paramore.
Yeah,
the verse is just kind of laying down something, and then the message is in the chorus. And
so yeah,
the thing that I noticed going through the first time, I can't say I enjoyed it as much as you because it's a little softer rock, which is not obviously not bad. It's actually still a really good record, but I guess I'm less inclined to like it because I like Paramore's anthemic booming, like That's What You Get, Misery Business, and this is definitely more quiet. It's not introspective, but it takes a step back and I think looks at society almost collectively with a few of these records. Obviously, the news.
Okay, I guess we can talk about the news after you make your bigger point. Sorry.
I love how there's so many turns on this record. Like, the first three, like you said, are kind of like pop rock. They're a little more out. They look out. You're looking at things. This Is Why, talking about how she's feeling. And then the news talking about how she's feeling watching kind of society fall apart. Because this is the first record since kind of America has become so polarized. And they're from Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of in the mud. They're right in the middle of America. Running out of time, talking about Hank talking to her neighbor and then not talking to them and then feeling a little odd afterwards. Then we get to the French song. I won't butcher this. I'll let you say it.
C'est comme ça.
Il
n'y a rien de mal avec un peu de la francophonie dans un album. Donc,
An undoubted dip. It felt like the song just was kind of monotonous the whole way through.
Despite my appreciation of a little bit of French.
What does that even mean?
This is that.
Oh, no wonder you thought this record was called This Was That.
Yeah, maybe.
I did not enjoy this song. And I only
Pardon my French to all my former French teachers listening to this. Sorry, Madame Palaz. C'est comme ça does not mean this is that. It means, like, it's like that.
Okay. The only reason I want to bring
up Palaz.
Why... Or maybe the only reason I think this was such a low part is because the next song is... Maybe the best song on the record for me.
No, I think it's just a low point. It's not even because Little
Yes,
Man,
but
big,
it's compounded
man,
by the fact
dignity.
That the next song is...
A lot better.
The first song where you like the instrumental's a little unique, and obviously the thematics are more introspective, even though she's talking about someone else or she's looking
like,
at them.
Studying a person?
Yeah.
Studying a person who just... No matter what, seems to be able to get away with whatever they've done
mm-hmm.
and keep it pushing and keep finding ways to win, despite not necessarily deserving.
Yeah, or doing it in the most.
To be able to continue to have their head above water.
Uh huh. And the record from here on out is dope.
Yeah.
It's a little softer. We get some like Thick Skull kind of picks it back up, but. Figure Eight and Liar are both like mellow rock tracks where they the instrumentals are dope on some of these, particularly Liar, I think is really creative.
Mm-hmm.
Thematically is probably what I enjoy the most, honestly, because I'm not super into soft rock, and this is really a soft rock record.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how many turns they take on this album. Like, for the first few songs, like, okay, they're going to talk about everything that's gone down in the last 6 years. And then she starts talking about kind of her experience with watching people go through what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into her relationships and why her relationships have changed because of what's going on. And you can clearly see the itinerary of the record. And it's I mean, you know, both you and I are super into greater constellations of albums.
Yeah.
So obviously we're going to eat this up. But yeah, that's my favorite part of this record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. For me, I'm not like a Paramore veteran. I've not listened to much Paramore before this.
Okay.
I've known of them.
Really?
Yeah. And, I mean, I've heard some Hayley Williams features in the past on, like, B.O.B. and stuff.
No.
No, she kills that song. But, yeah, this is why it is good. I like the news a lot for that thematic messaging part. Talking about war on the other side of the planet, war right behind my eyes.
Yeah, that's a dope track. That's a bar.
Yeah. Basically trying to get away from the news, but also kind of feeling like you have to be engaged with the news.
And it kind of pulling you in.
Mm-hmm. Even though it sucks and you just want to turn it off, which is very relatable to me in my experience with the news.
Yeah.
Because at home anyway, there was a time when like the news was like the primary channel that was on TV because it's just background noise, if nothing else. But during, you know, the Donald Trump presidency, the news media started to get extraordinarily annoying having the news on. And the more you see, the more it's just about how do we make everything a catastrophe to keep your attention.
Yeah.
We're only going to tell you the bad news because the bad news is more engaging to the viewer than something positive. So we're just going to tell you all the bad stuff that's happening. And it is happening, and you should pay attention to it. But there's also not going to be light on the other end of the rainbow.
I love how she kind of takes everything you just said and puts it only in one song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the record is kind of how her relationships are affected by that, or how she views people. Like you said, how she views this big man with little dignity, how he keeps his head above the water, but she's like, oh, you're doing this wrong. Or like in Liar, how her perception of kind of everything has been shifted a little bit. But she's seemingly aware, or she, the whole group, I guess, they're seemingly aware of it. It's dope. It's dope that it's kind of a pullback. Or that, like, this record, you can see that they have taken a lot of time to write it. And thematically, it goes back multiple years.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the news, kind of talking about, like, when you said, like, kind of when COVID had hit and the Trump presidency and then obviously Ukraine. And I guess just the last 2 years, man.
The last 2 years have been tough.
Yeah.
Tough on the planet.
Yeah.
Tough on the human race.
And I love how she takes that and says, and then kind of details how it's changed her perception of, or how she views her relationships and how she views people, which is awesome, man.
Yeah.
And they do it in a soft rock way, which is pretty creative. And it's not seething either.
No.
It's not seething, which is really dope.
She's not like upset.
No, it's kind of like, this is what I'm seeing. It's just almost documenting it. Should we play a track? Should we play Liar? I think we both agreed that was...
I do want to mention one more bar on the song that I saw floating around that people were talking about. It's on Thick Skull. It's like the opening line. I'm a magnet for broken pieces. I'm attracted to broken people. I pick them up and now my fingers are bleeding.
Wow. I mean, that's Paramore at their best right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, yeah, that truly encapsulates... some Paramore.
Yeah.
All right, so should we play Liar?
Yeah, we'll play Liar. Right, one of the softer of the softier rock songs.
Yeah, but definitely enjoyable.
Oh, yes.
All right.
That's why we're playing it, because it's enjoyable.
So this is Liar off of Paramore's newest record, This Is Why. Thank you.
signals I was asking for. Waiting through the fog and then it disappeared. Naked when I'm here, and why should I deny what's all at once so crystal clear? And all my love I lied to you, but I never needed to. Love is not an easy thing to admit, but I'm not ashamed of it. Love is not a weakening if you feel it rushing in. Don't be ashamed of it. Love is not an easy thing to
you know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
This is Colin from GBH, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and that's Canada, boys.
And we back, and we back, and we back. Just some closing thoughts here on the Paramore album.
I'm gonna go, and we've kind of been heaping the praise on it, so maybe I will turn it around here. This is likely my least favorite Paramore record. Just because of how great the other stuff has been, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Riot is so good. Self-titled album is great. Brand New Eyes. Feels like I listened to that so long ago. But, yeah. I mean, but I love, like, anthemic rock, you know, that just like I grew up listening to like anthemic 80s rock. So, and this is just kind of not an indictment on this is why, because thematically it's deep and it's really, it pulls you in, like you said. Like, this is not like the lyrics, you listen to them and you have to think. It's obviously compelling. But I just love, it's more of like just the laurels of their old stuff, man. Like, there's just so many bangers. Mm-hmm. On some of, like, Still Into You, so dope. Obviously, Misery Business is a monster hit. The Only Exception. That's What You Get. Love that song. So, I'd have to say that, although I do enjoy the record, I'm not the biggest fan of Paramore doing soft rock, but I do like the way they did it, and the outcome is still really good. But that's my final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've not listened to nearly as much Paramore as you have, so I didn't really have any, like, preconceived notions of what to expect or what really, like, their shtick is, kind of, like, well, like, I know what they do, but, like, I'm not as intimately familiar with it as you, but I enjoyed the album. It took a bit of, you know, like putting your foot into the pool and yep. letting it adjust to the temperature of the water before you go all the way in. But once I was in, I didn't really want to. Once I was in the pool, I enjoyed being in the pool. So, I like This Is Why.
Favorite song? Was it Liar?
Liar was the, yeah, probably Liar. Liar, maybe The News. I think those are the two Fair. Of them, because like, I appreciate the soft rock stuff, and I wasn't really listening to it as, oh, this is Paramore doing soft rock. It was more like, oh, this is just
soft rock. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I think Big Man, Little Dignity,
yeah,
favorite. And Liar.
That's good.
Liar's dope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first three tracks are also great.
Yeah,
and I also really like Crave. So.
Wow, just liking everything.
Yeah, I mean,
no strong opinions here.
Yeah, yeah, nothing. I mean, it's
a bunch
Paramore,
of fence. We're a bunch of fence sitters on this show, if you haven't noticed.
I'm a big Paramore guy, but I'm not sitting on the fence. This is, if I had to rank Paramore albums, this one would be towards or at the bottom.
Damn.
And there's nothing on here that I'm going to throw into my active rotation. But it's good, man. I'm not going to deny that Paramore makes like dope records every time they come out.
Oh yeah.
Transition.
Into M83.
So, obviously, creators of Midnight City.
The smash hit that it was.
Yeah, and we felt like we had to discuss this because we did bring up Ocean's Niagara.
Yeah, we did. We discussed Ocean's Niagara when it came out, and we both liked that song.
Yeah, we both thought it was awesome. We thought it was airy. It created a dope, like, soundscape.
Yep.
And it is part of their EP, which... Who knows how many, like you mentioned, Fantasy Chapter 1, it's an EP, only six songs, 30 minutes, there's some pretty beefy songs.
Yeah, there's 2 6-minute songs in this thing.
At first, we had this conversation, you're like, I think we should talk about this, and I was like, yeah, man, I thought it was kind of disappointing. And you're like, why? You're like, well, because like previous M83 records, I don't know how many M83 records you've listened to. Have you listened to Hurry Up, We're Dreaming?
Some of it.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure they did the soundtrack to Oblivion. And, oh my god, they did.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, because I really like this, like, sci-fi post-apocalyptic stuff. And so I remember hearing it, and I was like, oh, I need to go back. So I went back and I listened to Hurry Up, We're Dreaming, which it's so long, bro, but it's so good. And, like, it really does, like, I mentioned this. I was like, when I listen to that record, like, my mind goes to, like, faraway lands, bro. And I'm just, like, in this huge landscape that they've just, like, laid out for me. And it's just, I love that record. And I love where it takes you with their crazy synths and the lyrics and, like, the layers on everything. Fantasy, now, that's what I was expecting. Now, granted, I only listen to one record, and it probably is their greatest. Fantasy 1, I was somewhat expecting the same. And... I didn't really pay much attention to it being Chapter 1, but now that I do, I actually really enjoy this more because this is kind of me putting more expectations on the second chapter being a little more expansive and compelling. But like, this is like, to me, this kind of resembles when all the dwarves show up at Bilbo's Hobbit house and they're all kind of sitting in there and they're building it up. And then they start singing that crazy song, like they're, and he's like, what's going on? But they're about to like embark on this crazy journey, and you know the journey's going to be crazy. So this is kind of what this record feels like to me.
Mm-hmm. I think this album, I think this EP still works as its own like self-contained
absolutely
piece.
I shouldn't mention that.
Even if it is part of what we assume to be a larger, maybe two more of these, make a little trilogy out mm-hmm. of it. Maybe 18 tracks in total or something, but yeah, it still definitely functions as though as its own like self-contained project. I did appreciate that while Ocean's Niagara was an extremely instrumental heavy track with only one line mm-hmm. in the song that came in every so often, I did appreciate that that wasn't the entire record or the entire EP. There was more lyrical content as the album progressed, with songs like Amnesia having, you know, full verses or full chorus and verse and stuff. And Us and the Rest and Earth to Sea being 6-minute songs, obviously there's a lot going on in those. So
I really love them. I really like Earth to Sea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There is still, through these 6 tracks, an overarching theme of, I think, like, of longing for love or wanting, like, just wanting to hold on to a person a bit, especially with the Amnesia, you know, 4 minutes with you being like the vocal that really shines through on the chorus of that song. And Far Far Gone ties up some of the theme of love, and Here's Our Last Chance to Be Friends is one of the lines on the song that, you know, sticks the landing for kind of like the longingness of the album. That's how I'd put it.
Interesting. So we listen to this differently, because maybe it's because of how I listen to, or maybe it's because the first time I like really listened to them was a movie soundtrack where it's just trying to set up something for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, like, whenever I listen to M83, what I liked most about Ocean's Niagara was that it was most instrumental, and it was pretty dope, and it's set, and it's just kind of, like we mentioned last time, it kind of like, here's this setting, do what you want. So unlike you, where you're like, oh, this album's about longing and this, I always listen to M83 like they're setting something up for me, because obviously that's kind of when I first like really started to listen to them, was because they were setting up the mood and the themes of each scene for that film. So I actually didn't even pick up on any of those themes throughout the record, because I was just thinking about I just love the airiness and where my mind was going, and some pretty ethereal stuff, which is kind of unlike me, because, you know, I kind of like to, I like relatability in music.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to M83, I just love like the airiness and the atmosphere. So I just kind of focus on the atmosphere, and it's like lo-fi.
Yeah.
And it does feel, it is longing. You're right. It does make you feel longing. It feels like the leaves are falling off the trees, but it's still beautiful. Or the beauty is kind of coming to end, but you know that there's still going to be beauty there, which is kind of like the end of a relationship. Like what you had is gone, but you do look forward to your time alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you do look forward to seeing how you interact with people now that you've been in a relationship and stuff like that. So now that you bring that up, the more we talk about this, the more I realize I did enjoy this record. I just had to curb my expectations for it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of something you do on every record.
Mm-hmm.
I do say Earth to Sea is my favorite. I just love the instrumental, and I love the airiness and the layers on the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love when M83 kind of does like 3 or 4 catchy lines, like a 3/4 of a verse, and then does an instrumental, and then 3/4 of a verse, and then they hit you with like a chorus, and then they go back to that verse. So that's what I really like about that song.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 7 minutes.
It is, yeah.
Which is, I do enjoy that, because they can obviously take you a million places.
A little long for radio, though.
Yeah, agreed.
Despite the praise, we're not playing it. Yeah.
Should we switch to, or do you have more praise?
I want to say something about M83 in general.
Go ahead.
Just, they make. I need to listen to more stuff like M83, I think. Or maybe just more M83 and build out from there. Because they make a style of music that I really enjoy, and that I enjoy every time I hear it, but that I don't, like, actively listen to enough. So maybe that's why I enjoy it, just because it feels like a pleasant surprise every time. But I really like music, like, how, like, theirs. That's, like you were saying, like, ethereal and, yeah, and atmospheric, and there's not, and it's more about where the instrumental takes you than, and like, and the lyrics aren't as important or relevant. They're just kind of there sometimes.
Lucky, but yeah, for you, they have a Hurry Up We're Dreaming sitting right there on streaming services.
Yes. I know. But yeah, I just, that's kind of all I had to say, I guess, was just, I really enjoy the style of music they make, and I need to listen to more of it, more stuff like that, and what Tame Impala does as well as another, yeah, example of this sort of stuff. So, I need to listen to more music like this, because I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just the style in general, and yeah, this is a good EP, but also just in general, I enjoy this type of music, so I need to hear more.
I do as well. Obviously, I'm kind of, that's kind of like my main focus is like, where did the instrumental take my mind? What did I think of? Where did I feel like I was? Where did it want me to think I was? So that's probably why I don't have many criticisms, because I kind of, that's how I judge the record. Now, I did say that I was disappointed with it, but I did need to kind of shift what I was thinking, because I went from like a grandiose, like maybe their magnum opus, to this more laid back, lo-fi-ish, ethereal stuff. But it's fun, and it's something that I think you need to. Like, the way that I don't listen to music the same way I listen to M83. Like, when I turn on Harry Styles, I'm not going to listen to it the same way I'm going to listen to M83.
Mm-hmm.
I
find it hard for me to be critical. I think part of my maybe general enjoyment of this genre, perhaps, is I think I find it hard to be critical of this type of music that is so instrumental, like so focused on the instruments.
Yeah, that's how I was actually going to take us there.
And less about the verses, because how do I say this without sounding ignorant or like I know nothing about music, but I feel like it's like when I don't like a song, it's generally because I don't like the lyrics.
Really?
Or I don't like the way the lyrics are delivered. So on
yeah,
a song,
okay. That makes sense.
So on a song, or on an EP,
like when I played where, you Nature Feels by Frank Ocean, and two lines in, you're like, I don't like this.
I don't remember that.
The Frank Ocean song on the MGMT beat.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's a little, it's you gotta get used to it, but yeah.
But MGMT is an example of this type of sound too, where it's so much more about the instrumental than the lyrics, and I think I judge music primarily on the lyrics, that it's hard. It's like in a way harder for me to like critically evaluate this, because it's just like mostly just instruments, mm-hmm, and not words.
And I think that, so where I was going to go,
so
with
I feel like that
point,
almost puts you in like a safer place.
Yeah.
If you're a musician. Because it's easier to get down with some good drum and guitar rhythms than with, or it's easy, maybe perhaps it's easier to create like a, I don't know. I'm sick, I don't know.
Yeah, what I was going to say is,
It's easier to have like a good, I don't want to say easier, because that's not, I don't want to sound
but
like.
But we're not technical musicians, so it's just, when you just hear something groovy, you're going
to
enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you just hear like a groovy instrumental, it's easier to enjoy it. But when you hear like a bad verse, or like a verse with a bad melody or anything like that,
yeah,
it sticks out to you more.
Correct. So my closing point is that because kind of M80, like the, I, because M83 kind of just gives you this and you have to kind of interpret it, they kind of want you to interpret it your own way. It's airy, it's atmospheric, it's kind of fast. We haven't been criticized. You haven't really criticized it because of that. Now, the criticism for me comes from kind of where my mind takes me. And it's more of a personal thing because they kind of give you what they do and it's good in its own way. So, my closing thoughts on this record is that, like I said, kind of the dwarves show up at the Hobbit Hole and they're kind of prepping you for this. But as its thing on its own, it's lo-fi and it's down low and it's longing and it's airy. But I would like more from them. I would like more, a bit more compelling and maybe introspective sounds, maybe more like deeper synth layers. But now I'm really like kind of nitpicking. But
yeah.
Awesome record. I think we should play Amnesia.
Yeah, we're going to play Amnesia off M83. I think something I do want to just tack on to what you were saying about how you wish there was more. That is kind of the problem, because my understanding, just by like quickly looking through the Wikipedia of MGMT, because I was trying to figure out
MGMT, M83.
Oh, M83. Too many M's in these synth electronic groups names. Is I was trying to figure out who the female vocalist was on Amnesia, because I really like that inclusion. I really like her inclusion, and I don't know who it is, unfortunately.
Probably like a buddy of theirs.
Yeah, maybe. But, or just some session singer, perhaps. But, the Wikipedia just mentioned that, like, Fantasy is their next studio album, and this is just Fantasy Chapter 1. So, kind of an interesting decision.
Wikipedia said there was a studio album that was going to be called just Fantasy?
Yeah.
Because this is just an EP.
Yeah, so this is Fantasy Chapter 1, so I assume it's going to be Fantasy Chapter 2 and Fantasy Chapter 3, perhaps, and that forms
a studio album?
And that forms, like, a full album.
Okay, so there's not just, like, an album coming just called Fantasy.
I wouldn't expect so.
Okay. That would actually, like, kind of make my, like, really get me excited. Then the Hobbit analogy would really work here.
Yeah.
If this was just, like, if this was just tea time and dinner was coming with a full album.
But then what you're saying about kind of wishing there was more, that is a challenge or an issue probably with releasing an album in parts like this, is that you're not giving people like the full thing at once. And so maybe on the next part they do hit what you're... They do what you're looking for, but it wasn't attached. But you could have just come up with the whole thing at once, maybe a few weeks from now, instead of doing it piece by piece.
Uh-huh.
Unless, of course, there is... And then by doing that, you can... You know, you wouldn't have the issue of wishing there was more, because you would just have the whole thing in front of you, and you wouldn't have to be thinking, oh, well, maybe the next part does what I want, and I'll be excited for that. But at the same time, though, if they have a grander concept that they're trying to create with this, then maybe the chapter thing will make more sense. If like this part has this forlorn and longing vibe, and then the next part has a different energy going on, and then it can look more like perhaps a story of something.
Yeah, you did kind of hit the nail on the head there. I was wanting more, and
it's pretty easy to want more when you only get six songs to
play with. Well, just, like, I wanted more, like, it's a lot of, like, actual real cool instrumentals. There's less synthy in some of these, kind of like the chords on Amnesia are cool, the guitar chords. I kind of, like, rested that, that annoyance kind of dissipated when I was like, oh, this is only chapter one, and M83, it makes sense that this is a little more stripped and less vast and less compelling because it's chapter one, and I'm kind of giving him a break because it just says chapter one. But if this was just an EP flat out, I would have been like, oh man, I wish that there was a little more, this was more grandiose, there was more going on. But their past stuff has been great, so I expect their next thing to be as good, and for a starting point for something that I think is purposely meant to be stripped and airy and a little bit more lo-fi, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's I enjoyed listening to this more than Paramore.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know if I can really... I think I do enjoy this one more than Paramore, too. But this is also more of the style of music I like more.
Yeah, so me too.
That's mainly why I like it more, is just because I would generally like something like this more than the Paramore thing.
All right.
And yeah. On that note,
this is Amnesia from M83's newest EP, Fantasy Chapter 1.
Sorry about that, folks. Oh, we're back. Technical difficulties.
Montreal indie art rockers Soons return to Vancouver on Saturday, February 18th, performing at the newly reopened Cobalt with special guests Laurel Meets the Obsolete. Tickets available now at f7entertainment.com.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
And we back, and we back, and we back.
Yeah, excuse the that.
Yeah, excuse the
Wi-Fi cutting out of my computer.
Yeah, UBC Visitor is... The UBC Wi-Fi in general is pretty...
Dodgy.
Like, it's good. Like, when it's on and connected, it works well. But getting connected and staying connected can be a pain. And so, apologies for the brief moment of dead air.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll jump into some other new music that was released last week. Obviously, Paramore, and we listened to M83. Mm-hmm. There was also, I want to say Lizzo dropped this because she won the Grammy. It's not attached to anything, and it has the same artwork as her album, special featuring SZA. Central C dropped a record, or a single, Me and You. Beyonce had a Cuff It remix.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Kid Laroi song. Yep. We had a Luke Combs song, who you and I briefly discussed off-air the other day. Jason Derulo and David Guetta get together for a classic Jason Derulo song, man. What else? Daniel Caesar had another awesome single.
Nav.
We'll throw Nav in there. Nav.
Nav with Lately.
Kind of a throwback, kind of airy Toronto song.
Shout out to the greatest rapper to ever come out of Toronto.
Okay.
No, Nav is not.
Yeah, Nav has the key to the city.
Nav has the key. I did not say Nav had the key to the entire city.
Alex once said Nav had the key to the six.
I said Nav had the key to Brampton.
No, I know. And then I just like...
Just he does not have the key to Toronto.
Yeah. Some of the songs I enjoyed. Kid Laroi dropped another single. I thought the production was dope. And the... Some of the bars are awesome because he's talking about like places I've been to in LA, but not awesome. Mm-hmm. It's good, but not awesome. Obviously, the Jason Derulo song Saturday Sunday is fun, but you don't really. There's kind of like few environments you can listen to that song.
Yeah.
It's not like
Derulo and Guetta.
It's not like Savage Love, man. My favorite is probably the Daniel Caesar track. I love Daniel Caesar though.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Caesar just like. Every time I listen to Daniel Caesar, I feel like I'm in Palm Springs. I just love the vibe Daniel Caesar gives.
Nice.
The Lizzo track is cool. SZA's awesome on it. Lizzo's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Central C, man. You and I had a quick conversation on Central C the other day.
We're getting into Central C?
Why not, man? Central C's funny.
Central C is funny. Central C, for those who don't know, which is a lot of people, he's a UK... drill
he's like
rapper.
Novel drill.
Yeah. And his shtick at the moment has been some
I don't think he has a shtick.
He's just kind of doing like some goofy stuff with like some weird lines in some songs, and also like him interpolating Let Her Go by Passenger on like a drill song was
ill-advised.
Questionable decision, but it felt in line with kind of the way... If anyone was going to do it, it kind of felt like him.
Huh.
Like, I'm not surprised that if... I'm surprised that it happened, but I'm not surprised that he's the one who decided to make it happen. Yeah.
So from what I'm getting is you kind of think he's a gimmick rapper.
I kind of think he's a gimmick right
really?
Now.
Really?
Well, like, he can rap. He has good lines.
So I had a hot take for you. I was gonna say, if I can throw it up now.
Yeah.
This one is just partially to grind your gears, partially because I think that he's a better rapper than you give him. I like some of his bars on Doja are so good, dude.
Yeah, he has some good lines on Doja.
Good lines on every track. He has some really good lines on this Me and You. This is not a great song, by the way. Doja is still like head and shoulders.
Doja is the gimmick of all gimmicks.
How so? I think you just don't listen to enough UK drill.
Mm,
that is just like maybe. A really good... What do you listen to, Dave?
Yeah.
Do you listen to any other UK artists?
Not really.
Okay. Well, so Dave.
Well, no, Dave and Dave and Central C live in entirely different worlds.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like a lot of North Americans, like,
because the old British,
they listen to one UK guy. They're like, this is what it all sounds like, man. Like,
yeah, like, I'm
shout out Stormzy though. I'm a big Stormzy fan.
Stormzy, I was gonna mention. Like, I also know his stuff,
dude. I think that's just like a that's just like normal drill. Like Heady One sounds the same.
Okay.
Like, the drum pattern on every song is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And his flow is kind of the same.
Yeah.
But his innuendos are dope, man. Dope.
I think gimmick was the wrong word.
No.
He's a novelty.
Yeah.
I think he's just kind of a novelty right now.
He's probably a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. Like, he's got ability for sure.
Yeah.
Like, he, and I do, yeah, and he's got funny lines, like, on Doja. The mandem celebrate Eid, the trap still running on Christmas Day. Is an objectively hilarious line. Uh-huh. And
I would love to play Doja, but we
can't. We could never play Doja on this. Go listen to Doja on your own time.
Go listen to Doja.
Don't come to us to play Doja, because that will never happen.
No.
But
he's got 30 million monthly listeners, which seems kind of inflated.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the barometer for what is a lot of monthly listeners has
that's
changed.
A lot, dude.
30 million is a lot of people.
I think 20 and up is a... No, like 10 and up is a lot.
Yeah, 10 and up is a lot, but I think the relative value of each monthly listener has decreased.
Oh, of course. The Weeknd's about to hit 100 million.
Yeah, The Weeknd's about to hit 100 million. So, yeah. But 30 is still... Like, what are these 30 million people listening to?
Doja, man?
Still?
Let go? I still listen to Doja.
You still listen to
Have
Doja?
Have you gotten into the second verse ever?
Yeah, I've listened to the whole song
It's
before.
Awesome, man. Obviously, I'm higher. I just like that.
It's just kind of hard to get over the verse, or the chorus, I mean.
Kind of
hard to
get over the opening line. I think it's genius.
He just kind of beats that line, because he comes back to it. Well, it's like it was a good idea.
It is a good idea.
I guess it was a good idea, because it got him a bunch of publicity.
Anyways, I'm gonna just retreat my hot take, because it was just kind of to piss you off.
What?
Yeah, I was going to say that Central C is a better rapper than Logic. Which is kind of not true, because they kind of do two totally different things.
Yeah, they do different things, and one has had a decade-plus long career, and the other guy is still...
Loose off a lot, but...
Still trying to keep, you know,
establish
himself.
One thing that you said this week, I want to end the show off talking about some hip-hop. You mentioned, so we listen, and actually we're going to finish with playing Boy's a Liar, because you brought that up.
I don't want to be making the play sheet after this and have to type in Ice Spice.
Okay, fair. So, but you said Ice Spice is the best worst rapper.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you some bad rappers. And you're going to tell me if they're better or worse than Ice Spice.
What I mean by best worst rapper is, like, Ice Spice is New York drill. We've had a lot of drill conversation here. And she's, like, kind of okay at one thing. And she's pretty relevant for the one thing. But it's not good. But she does it good enough for the moment to hang around, I guess.
Fair.
Like, she's bad, but she's, like, good at the thing that makes her bad, maybe, is the way to put it.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Ice Spice,
but I do like Boy's a Liar.
No, I want to play the normal version.
Oh, okay.
Not the Ice Spice version.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Because I think Pink Pantheress is, I mean,
that's fine.
She also has one sound.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a lot of people with one sound, we might as well shout out Yeet, baby. But
we could close with Boys Alive.
Yeah, I think Boys Alive is super dope.
Okay. Anyway, what were some of those artists that you wanted to name?
Yeah, just because.
And do I think they're better or worse than
Ice Spice? I'll start with Kodak Black. View it this way. If they both dropped right now, and I put a gun in your head and I said, you have to listen to one, who are you listening to first?
Ice Spice.
Wow, okay, there we go.
Because she's also
there we go,
she's,
man.
She's, like, newer.
There we go,
man. There's more, like, new recent interest in her. Like, Kodak is bad. Kodak isn't a good rapper.
That's why I'm talking about him.
Yeah.
What if I said...
The codec's just bad and I'm not curious.
What if I said...
Ice Spice, at least I'm curious.
Trippy Red or Ice Spice?
I'd probably go Trippy.
I'm gonna agree with you there. We'll do like two or three more. What about Youngboy Never Broke Again or Ice Spice?
I respect Youngboy's abilities.
Yeah, Youngboy's good, bro. I think Youngboy's fun.
I think if Youngboy stopped coming out with 7 albums a year and just like actually focused on making, like, instead of him just recording 20 songs in a row and putting them on an album after one take, which kind of feels like what he does, I feel like if he actually sat down for like a year and just worked on music, I think he could come up with something pretty good.
Yeah, dude. I still like
Youngboy.
Because
he has a good voice.
I don't think Youngboy's bad. This is more to like I also enjoy Kodak.
Okay.
Like, I do enjoy Kodak. So we'll do one more and then we'll throw on Boys Aloud to close the show.
Yeah.
Gucci Mane or Ice Spice.
Man, speaking of people who come out with 7 albums a year, Gucci Mane is the patron saint of that.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think it's here. Actually, maybe.
Dude, look at how much crap he.
Oh, he drops like he was. I remember it was a headline, like years ago, that Gucci Mane was upset with his label because they wouldn't let him drop every week.
Every week.
All right, we'll do one more. Soulja Boy for the streets here.
I didn't even answer.
Okay.
That. Ugh, probably Gucci Mane.
Yeah, for the streets here. Soulja Boy, or Ice Spice.
I'm just thinking about this conversation being clipped and thrown up on a like TikTok or
exactly,
something, and just
dude.
What the reception would be with no context of what we're actually talking about, just having you name these people. God, Soulja Boy, or would I rather listen to a Soulja? If I could only choose one, would I rather listen to Soulja Boy or Ice Spice? Could I
just one man?
Just could I listen to a subsequent album from them?
No, just their newest stuff.
Okay. Pardon my language. I don't know.
The answer is Soulja Boy. We'll just say
it. I kind of wanted to say Ice Spice because I feel like then at least with that, I'd be a little more plugged in to what's currently going on because I doubt a Soulja Boy album's gonna make any waves.
Dude, speaking
of Ice Spice, might.
Dude, Soulja Boy drops like 8 mixtapes a year.
Still?
And they're each like 23 songs long.
Still?
Like, he did in like 2019 or 2018 before
man.
He got arrested. Before the whole Drake?
Oh, man.
Drake?
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Soulja Boy, tell him.
Forever one of the most influential artists, man.
Yeah, forever.
Forever low-key goated, man.
No matter what, forever low-key goated.
Yeah, the streets will never forget. Anyways, this is Boys Alive by Pink Panthers.
Yep, to close out the show, thank you all for listening. Stay tuned to the station, though, because Dunkin's Donuts is coming up next.
Have a wonderful long weekend.
Or at least it should be. I don't see Dunkin' in the office right now, but he should be up next.
Enjoy your long weekend and listen to some Ice Spice, guys.
Yeah.
This is Pink Panther S with Boys a Liar without Ice Spice.
Without.
Hold my breath till you get down on one knee because you only want to hold me when I'm looking good enough. Did you ever fool me? Would you ever picture us? Every time I pull my head.